All right, we're going to read together here. I will read the white and you read the yellow. All right, and let me just start. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful for even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. All things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep. Arise from the dead. Christ will give you light. Now, that's a mouthful, but we have been going over some of those scriptures that today I'm going to kind of summarize. And then we're going to walk into this next week. See then that you walk circumspectly or accurately, not as fools, but as wise, because the days are evil, are they not? Yeah. You know, as I said, I'll be presenting the future of Harvest. I don't know if I will next week, probably get into it next week, and then for the next couple weeks, we're going to go over our vision and mission and really talk about what we want to do for Christ. You know, I look at it and I think, you know, most churches are inward. That's what we call it in the pastoral realm, okay? They're inward. They're thinking about themselves. They're trying to, everybody's supposed to trying to have fun and enjoy themselves, and they forget that there's a whole outside world out there that doesn't know Christ, that are dying. And I'm telling you, I just can't do that. We've been kind of doing that for a while, which is fine, but I want to see us be able to reach people for Jesus Christ, don't you? And I'm not saying that everybody has to go out and witness next week and we're going to hand them some cards and say, go out and pass. I'm not saying that. I'm saying people come through our doors, 4 to 6 families, sometimes even more than that a week, that don't know Christ. And we're sharing that Christ with them, but we want to get out. And we want to see these people. The kingdom of God is at hand, and we have been translated into it. We're going to talk about that today. But we want to see those who are walking in darkness that we just read about enter into the light. Amen? Yeah, okay. So be ready for that. That'll start this next week. But this morning, I want to quickly remind us that the book of Ephesians, and I said this last week, is a pattern of Christian living. The first three chapters, if you remember, are telling us who we've become in Christ. And if you remember, I had my Romans class a couple weeks ago. We took a look and went through chapter 1 through 3 and wrote down all the things that we are in Christ. We only found 30, and that was just in 3 chapters of Paul's epistles. And if you read his rest, it will add to that. God, it starts out and says that God, the blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. So he didn't leave anything out, which is wonderful. And so we have learned that in the first 3 chapters. And then what happens is the last 3 chapters tell us how to live, how to act, how to function as his loved children. And Paul gives us this clear, concise, and careful outline of how we are to behave as new creations with both do's and don'ts, not from a legalistic point of view, but because we want to live in light. Amen? And so he sums it up with these 4 great walks. Walk worthy to the expectation of who we are. Let's now walk that way. And then walk in love. We're going to be imitators of God. And then walk in light because we are the children of light. That's what Paul says in there. And then walk accurately, coming up in wisdom and not as fools. Okay, so we have balance, love, light, and wisdom. So let's begin, verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. You know, one of the nice things about this is, Christian, we don't understand who we are. I mean, we just don't understand. when we say we're God's children. Here's the thing. We were once darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. We don't have to scamp around and find some place to hide because God's too big and doesn't love us. Amen? We are in the light, and we are confidently in the light. And you know, when he uses the word darkness, and I just want you to think about this. He uses that same word when Christ is on the cross. And I want to go to, Luke 23, starting with verse 44, and read this, because it's talking about the darkness. It's 3 hours before Christ gives up his spirit. And I just want you to see this. I was so blessed by this. Now, it was about the sixth hour, noon, okay? And there was darkness over the earth, all the earth. Now, I don't know when it says all the earth, if it meant all the earth around there or around the whole world, okay? But there was darkness over all the earth. Then the sun was darkened, so it must have really got dark. And the veil of the temple in the Holy of Holies was torn down the middle. Okay, it was torn in two, which means now we have direct access to God. Until then, only the chief priest could go into that Holy of Holies once a year. And you know, it was so devastating that they would tie a rope around the leg of the priest so that if he did anything wrong in the Holy of Holies and God killed him, they could drag him out because they weren't going to go in there. Because that's where God resided, or at least his power resided. And once Christ died, that veil was ripped in half and torn, because we don't need the Holy Holies anymore. The Holy Holies of Holies lives where? In us. Yeah, that's right. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple of the Holy Holies was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. And I look at that and I think, why did it get dark? I think the darkness was a sign that maybe even with the sin and the evil, everything that we have done, everything in the past that has been done, everything until Christ reigns that has been done, was set on his shoulders on that cross. And it was dark because of the sin. And look at verse 47. So when the centurion saw what happened, what did he do? Run? No, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly, this was a righteous man." Now, how did he know that? He's a righteous man because he maybe saw his sin in that darkness. And the whole crowd who came together to that sight, seeing what had been done, beat their chest. And in Judaism, that's repentance. They beat their chest in repentance and returned. And just as darkness of sin obscures the world's understanding of righteousness and truth, righteousness and truth, Christian, shines blindly in the eyes of the world. And we are those children of light. For you were once darkness, and now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. It reminds me of Isaiah, and you've probably heard this before, Isaiah 5:20. It's a very graphic illustration of what happens today in an extraordinary way. And it's because, you have to understand, Christian, we're at war with darkness. Do you realize that? We are at war in darkness, and we fight in the light, but they fight in the darkness. And it says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." Isn't that true right now? I don't know of anything that's more true right now. Man, that's a sermon in itself. "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." And he's talking about their behavior here. Now, the enemies of the cross are saying, "No, what's good is bad." And I looked at that professor when we were Tuesday in class, and this professor is saying, "No, light is dark and dark is light. The Bible has no worth. It has too many mistakes." And And we stop and we think, well, no, it's pretty sound. But he's convincing a world out there that the Bible is not true. They are enemies of the cross. They are our enemies, folks. We are children of light, right? Romans 13, 12 says this. Paul says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand, therefore let us, now catch this, cast off the works of darkness, the works that we see over and over, good called evil and evil called good, the things we see on TV and the movies and we read about and we see every day that's just pressed in on us that seems so right and is so wrong according to the Word of God. And then he says, and let us put on the armor. You know what armor means there? Weapons. Weapons. Therefore, let us put on the weapons of light. And when you stop to think about the weapons, and we're going to talk about them in a little bit, you're thinking of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. All those things that God has given us, those are the weapons of light. That's how we fight darkness. We don't go out and swing a sword. Our sword is what? The Bible, the Word of God, okay? And now, and let us walk properly as in the day. Now, as Christians, people, we walk in the light. And let me make this clear. If you're a Christian this morning, you walk in the light. That's what the Scripture says. You walk in the light. And let me tell you why. John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare to you, here it comes, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Man, I love that verse. That was one of the first sections of scripture I ever learned as a young boy. If you're a son or a daughter of God today, you are a son or daughter, a daughter of light. And if you're a son and daughter of light, there is no darkness in you at all, as far as God's concerned. In other words, when you are redeemed, you are fully redeemed. Do you hear me this morning? There is no residual of darkness. I do not believe, and hear me on this statement and I'll prove it. I don't believe that Christians walk in darkness. God is light, and he produces light, and God's children are light. And Paul tells us now, just go ahead and walk in the light. You are the light. And Matthew 5, 14 says this, you are the light of the world. We are called sons of light repeatedly in the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians 5, 4. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of light, of the night, nor of darkness. Amen? That's pretty clear, but do you believe it? So as a Christian is someone who walks in the light and of the light, and are the light, and we don't walk in darkness. Listen to this from Colossians 1:13. This is what happened when you came to Christ, when you finally came to that place that Christ became your Lord and you started to serve. And he says, he has delivered, which means rescued us from the power of darkness and conveyed, he transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Here's the thing, folks. I don't think there's any middle ground. You know, it's so funny when people say, well, I'm kind of sitting on the fence. Guess what? There's no fence. Right? They're just sitting on their keister. Listen, when he says that he's transferred us from darkness to this light, I want you to think about this for a minute. You see the firemen come in at a fire and they go inside and they have their breathing gear on. They rescue people who are in the burning building and they pull them out and they get them out there and they're saying, how you feel? And they say, well, I'm feeling really good. And they cast them back into the fire. That's what we think, right? No. I think when you are saved, and you were taken out of darkness into light is for good, period. And you say, well, Steve, okay, I'm hearing what you're saying, but I'm a little confused here because what about sin? What about the sin? We do sin. Yeah, we do. I'm sorry to say, huh? We do. Well, when you sin, you do the works of darkness. But the problem, my friend, is we perform them in the light. Are you hearing me this morning? When an unsaved person that's in darkness, they perform it in the darkness. When we perform it in the light. And that's why it's so hard on our soul. You hear me this morning? I don't believe that a Christian can walk in darkness, because when the word walking in darkness or walking in the flesh or whatever is all about being saved and unsaved for the most part. It's only done to the unsaved when they were at walk in darkness, but you do not walk in darkness. In fact, Paul tells us today, walk in light. Don't perform the works of darkness. Because when you do it, it's in broad daylight. And it half kills you, doesn't it? And God sees it, and everything is going to be exposed and is exposed. And so we as Christians get convicted and we get depressed and we get feelings of despair and we suffer consequences and we take meds and we do all these kind of things because we're not exercising self-control that the Spirit has given us to walk out of those works of darkness and live in the light as He is in the light, John says. We are the light of the world. Are you the light of the world? I'm sorry, friends, you are. Well, I'm not sorry. You are the light of the world. Boy, what an incredible truth, isn't it? We are the light of the world, and instead we walk in the light, we produce the fruit of the Spirit, and we quit screwing around in the dark. Sorry for that. But that's the truth, isn't it? Verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Walking as children of light means to walk in Christ and exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I've talked about Galatians 5:22. I've tried to pack all this into 30 minutes. It's really hard. Okay, so let me just name a few. Love, joy, peace, enduring patience, not just impatience, kindness, goodness, which means generosity, good acts, generous to people, faithfulness, trustworthy, being trustful, gentleness, being mild, mannered to people, self-control. Complete control over one's desire is what the word means. Total self-control. Then he adds righteousness, doing what's right, and truth, what actually happens. And then he says in verse 10, finding out, and it means testing and approving, what is well-pleasing to the Lord. And so as we walk, we're testing and approving things to make sure we are walking in the light. We're walking in the Master's light. Are you getting that? Folks, God is calling us to obedience. He's not forcing it. He's not being legalistic about it. He's calling us to walk in the light, in obedience. And I hate to say that, because when I'm saying that, immediately you think, okay, tomorrow I'm going to quit doing this and I'm going to do this. And you go right into that legalistic mode. No. God's just saying, walk in the light. You got a choice. Just make the choice to walk in the light. And so he calls it obedience, and obedience has such a negative connotation in our society. As soon as I say obedience, you go right down to when you were growing up and get a spanking, right? That's what you think of obedience. Listen, I'm going to read just a couple verses for you to think about. Romans 15:18. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word or deed to make the Gentiles what? Obedient. Romans 16:26, but now made manifest by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for what? Obedience to the faith. 2 Corinthians 2:9, for to this end I also wrote that I might put you to the test, and it's the test and approval, whether you are obedient in all things. And then we have 2 Corinthians 10:5, and this is a personal thing in your life. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. In other words, what he's saying is you bring every thought into captivity, every action into captivity of Christ. And when you do that, boy, you can beat to death disobedience. But it's pretty tough when you're doing it and accusing them, right? So what's our problem with living in disobedience? I want you to think about this. Living obedience means we don't have to live negatively, with negative consequences. It's pleasing to God. It's being able to punish disobedience. Verse 11. And have no fellowship, no mutual partnering with the unfruitful, or the fruitless, is the way the word reads, work of darkness, but rather expose them, rebuke them. Now, I want to tell you what rebuke means here. It means to, here's the Bible dictionary definition, to state that someone has done wrong with the implication that there is adequate proof of such wrongdoing. Now, the reason they said that is very easy to accuse when you have half the information, right? That's not what God's talking about. He's saying when you have all of the information, then you go up and you shine light. And you tell people, look, I think you're kind of walking off the mark here. Doesn't mean you yell. It doesn't mean you belittle. It doesn't mean you're unloving. It simply means to point it out in love and encourage someone to get back on the path. And just think if all of us here did that to each other. Oh, Steve, you're kind of upset. Hey, buddy. Wouldn't that be great? It's hard because we think we're perfect. Or, well, at least we think we market that, right? That we're perfect. You know, I remember as an example, I was in California in San Jose, and it was towards the end of my, you know, a lot of you guys know, my past my hippie years, I was really starting to think about God a little bit, and probably a lot. And I worked with a psychiatric worker. I worked at Santa Clara Health County Health Department. And this guy worked with me, and he would talk to me. And he always was so wise. Everything he said was so good. And I couldn't figure out where he got his wisdom. And so one day, he lived 70 miles away from where he worked, way up in Oakland. And so he and his wife drove down, knocked on my door, and I answered it, and they came in. And they said, Steve, we want to talk to you. And I said, what about? And he said, well, he said, we think that your life is in destruction, the way you're living it right now. And we feel like you have so much to offer the world. You're so smart, and you've got so much talent and this kind of thing, and you're just destroying yourself. And we came because we love you, and we wanted to tell you that. Now, isn't that weird? 70 miles on my day off to come down and tell me that. You think that didn't affect me? I found out they were Christians that day, Presbyterians. And those Presbyterians talked into my life. And it was one of the many things that come because God uses all kinds of people and all kinds of ways to bring you to a place to get you to walk in the light, right? 12. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed, lovingly rebuked, are made manifest or made visible by the light. For whatever makes manifest or made visible is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. And then we come to the next walk. See then that you walk circumspectly, accurately, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So, Christian, here's the real question for this morning. Who are you going to imitate? Man, I get scared when I preach sermons like this because I keep getting scared with the fact that you don't understand that it's about grace. It's about wanting to serve God, not do's and don'ts that are going to make you do all the don'ts. But loving God because he's our master, he's our Lord. He's the guy that put us in light because he is the light. And he's put us in the light and we have a great life in so many ways. And yet we get hurt so bad because when we do stupid things, they're done in the light, not in the darkness. And God's after getting us to get out of those circumstances, get out of those consequences, and walk in the light as he is in the light. And then it says, so we can have fellowship with one another, and that's what it is, isn't it, folks? Fellowship with each other, helping each other to grow and walk in the light. Now, you may have come this morning and you don't have that relationship with God and you kind of can see, maybe I'm walking in darkness. Let me talk to you for a minute. Bible says we've all sinned. Everybody here has sinned. We've sinned in the light as well as the darkness. And the wages of that sin, the Bible says, is death, eternal death. But he doesn't stop there. He says, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And in Romans 10:9, it tells us how we can have that relationship with God. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So my friend, I'm going to pray a prayer, just a simple prayer to kind of help lead you through. And if today's the day that you want to ask Christ to come into your life and change your life and become a child of light, you just pray along with me, and let's bow our heads, and the rest of you pray for those. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and life and be the Lord, the master of my life. I believe that you rose from the dead, as that verse said, and you rose from the dead for me too. So come into my life and save me today, and may I live for you. While our heads are still bowed, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, will you stick your hand up, put it back down, let God know you meant business today. Thank you, thank you. Anybody else? I want to give you thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Father, we thank you so much that we have the opportunity by faith and a decision to ask you to come into our lives. And so, Lord, I thank you for these hands that went up today. I pray that they'll seek us out, that we can train them and teach them and help them grow in you. May you be blessed this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.